Thanks for joining me today. I am delighted to pray with you. This is John Cribb, my last guest. Let's pray for our country. Let's pray especially for peace in our nation's cities as the Kyle Rittenhouse trial has come to conclusion. If you're just joining me and you have not been able to plug into the news, Kyle Rittenhouse has been found not guilty on all five counts that were levied against him. And as of right now, a lot of people gathered outside the courthouse, a lot of commentary on what has unfolded. I just pray tonight as the sun goes down that that peace will continue to reign. And let's do that, okay? Let's pray for peace in this country and peace in the world and protection over our nation, all right? Now, I want to pray for you and for all your needs as well. I received an attention from a friend just before the broadcaster saying, hey, I'm hoping you might be able to pray for a young father and a husband who's on a ventilator in a hospital right now with COVID. So this was the text they sent me. Look, I really need your help. Could you please pray? Pray for Ryan's lungs to heal, for the oxygen to be able to flow through his lungs, for the pneumonia to get better, that his fever breaks, his heart rate and blood pressure gets better, and that God just heals him and gives him strength. Would you pray for our girls also to give me strength to be able to get through this? I know you've been praying, but if you could add an extra prayer, it would be greatly appreciated. We really need prayers. 31 days, I guess, they've been through this. So I'll keep the names anonymous, of course, and just asking right now for the healing of those lungs, real conversion in that health. And I often like to pray that from this moment, Father, as you hear these prayers, those conditions change and healing takes place. And I extend that prayer for anyone who is suffering with COVID, who is in a life-threatening situation right now. And of course, we'll take your calls here as well. Person wrote to me here and says, look, I want to pray and let you know that we had put out an intention for a missing girl. She was 26 years old. Want to let you know she has been found 30 hours after we prayed the chaplet. Just want to give you a thank you and a heads up. The chaplet has prevailed again. Another person said, will you pray? they say, here, let me get into this one. I'm excited to tell you that because of the Divine Mercy Chaplet, I continue to work from home. My boss announced that we were physically going to return to work, and I got very upset. I have a 9-year-old son with his ailing grandmother at home. Didn't know what I was going to do. The boss explained the circumstances to me. I knew I had to go, so I prayed the chaplet. I was asking God for resolution to the problem. And there was a change of heart. He is now permitting me to work from home. Those five words are really miraculous when you say them. Jesus, I trust in you. I love that. I do. I think it's so true. Times of trial, difficulty. Jesus, I trust in you. Well, I am joined right now by my colleague, Beth. She is praying the chaplet with us today. And of course, you're welcome to join us as well. Beth, good afternoon.
Thank you, Drew. Good afternoon.
Beth, anything you want to pray for today? Anything you want to lift up?
Just the general intentions of my friends and family, and then for those with autoimmune diseases.
All right, good prayers. Let's begin our chaplet today. We'll get right into it. As we often do, we turn to the Lord with trust and complete abandonment. I think we should also pray for his will to be done, and we'll just need to be able to discern that will. I think that's one of the great challenges of life, you know? Does the Lord want me to carry this cross longer? Or will it be, you know, miraculously or somehow replaced, alleviated? We'll pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls. And the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Our first call today comes from White Bear Lake, Minnesota. Hi, Nancy. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thank you for taking my call. This past year, I've gone through a lot of health problems, and I lost my youngest son and a granddaughter. And I just want to lift up the people in my parish, the prayer warriors, and all the women that I do with Lexio Divina, and all those women that have held me up and supported me and prayed for me. And I just want to pray for them now, and just for all their needs and for all their families, and also for the poor souls in purgatory.
Well, thank you. Remembering them. We want to pray for them every day. They have no one to pray for them but us. And we'll lift them up. I'm sorry. Really, I am so sorry to hear about your loss. Losing a child is something just unimaginable. But know that you are in our prayers. We're your family. We're united with you right now, Nancy. So let's bring these intentions before the Lord, and we'll ask for the healing that we need. We'll pray for that church group and for all those intentions you voiced. And Lord, I pray for those who mourn today, those who have lost loved ones through death, those who are in difficult relationships and are mourning a lost relationship, a friendship, a love. Lord, I ask for those emotional and those psychological healings that we need, as well as those physical that so many call out for. And I bring these souls to you. I ask for your mercy as I pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world,
for the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll go to our next call. Let me see who is up next. Elaine in Woodbridge, New Jersey. Hi, Elaine. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thank you for taking my call. A friend of mine in his name is Ralph Marino. He's been a quadriplegic for over 45 years, and now he has COVID and is in the hospital. I've called before for him, and he's pulled through, but now his lungs are really affected, and he doesn't want to go on to a respirator. So God's will, of course, if he's to pull through once again, but he certainly needs our prayers.
Yeah, thank you for calling for him. Thank you for being such a beautiful intercessor on his behalf. And what a cross that he has. And I respect deeply, you know, his his decision. You know, discerning God's will is always a very difficult thing to do, and we'll just submit completely to whatever the Lord wants for him. And Lord, if you are calling him home, then we thank you and we ask that his passing be a beautiful, peaceful one. And if it is not his time, then we ask for healing, that he will not go on that respirator, that his body will respond and he'll be able to recover from his COVID. But I pray, Lord, for those right now who are really in that crossroads. We're wondering, Lord, what is your will for me? What should I do? Why do I have this cross? Should I pray for liberation and freedom from it? Or should I pray for the grace to continue to carry it? I think it was there was some saint or some blessed, I remember reading a long time ago, who once said that a soul who's really resigned to God's will doesn't become attached to anything because he sees clearly that all things are nothing except God, and that, you know, we should completely, totally submit ourselves to whatever God's perfect will is in our life. And if we do that, we'll have peace, we'll have joy, and we'll be united in a special way. Our suffering then will become meritorious. So, Lord, I just pray for that, and I just ask for those who are really discerning your will right now that it be made clear to them. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world,
for the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our next call. Well, before I go to the next call, let me bring Maggie in. Of course, I often tell you two things. One, if you have a prayer intention or need, email us, drew@relevantradio.com, or send it to the network, or put it up on our Twitter page, @DrewMarianiShow. That's the show page. If you want to communicate with me personally, too, it's @DrewMariani. It's my Twitter handle. But also send me your prayer and your answered prayers. I know God hears prayers during this chaplet. I get so many answered prayers. They help me. They build my own faith, and I want to share them with others. Keep your name anonymous, of course, but drew@relevantradio.com, just the memo line, put answered prayer, and let me know how God has responded to you. Maggie, what's coming in? Who can we pray for today?
Carolyn wrote to us earlier, and she said, I'd like to ask for prayers for my daughters, that Sierra has a healthy baby named Levi in January, and that both of her daughters continue to have health and happiness in their marriages. Sue Lee wrote to us saying, prayers for my dad in the hospital waiting to have gallbladder surgery sometime either today or early tomorrow. And then Amy wrote to us, she said, please pray for my friend Joe with heart condition and prayers to all people suffering with anxiety. Alma wrote to us, she said, for the conversion of my son-in-law and for his liberation from alcoholism. And then Cecilia wrote to us, she wrote to us a couple weeks ago, and this one just made me smile, for Benjamin's potty training. He's still scared to go on the potty.
That is so funny. Life, right? The challenges and the fears that we have at the different stages of life. I will pray for all parents and, of course, all those toddlers and others. I want to pray for those who have issues with wetting their bed, too. I know that can be embarrassing and difficult for some, and Lord, just pray for the problems that children have, children that are being bullied. I want to pray for parents that they can be good educators and guides to their children. I want to pray for those parents who aren't baptizing their children, that they may understand the power and the beauty of that sacrament. For all the intentions Maggie has brought forward here, I unite them to Joseph, who's now joining us for the third decade. Joseph's praying in Illinois. Hi, Joseph.
Hello, and thank you for taking my call, and God bless you all. I would like my prayer intentions to be for all mothers, especially mothers current, mothers in the future, and specifically my sister Mary, my aunt Anna Marie, my aunt Connie, my aunt Josephine, my cousin Lisa, my cousin Lori, and especially my sister's children, Anthony, Nicholas, Benjamin, and Leah, that they come together after the father's death. It's been very difficult, and I ask for God's blessing.
Well, thank you, Joseph. We'll pray for that intentions. And Lord, I just give you everything he voiced, all the intentions that have come in, and all those united now with me in prayer. Your mercy, hear us as we pray, eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world,
for the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And I want to thank everyone for your prayers too. Just a quick thank you from me. My daughter, I had mentioned, had COVID. And Irma and Wayne, if you're praying with me, this is a beautiful couple who not only prayed a chaplet and a rosary, they had a mass offered for her. And the day they did that, she turned the corner. And today, she's like herself. So it's just so wonderful. I'm grateful for your prayers. Prayer works. Prayer changes things. Prayer brings healing. So I just wanted to let you know that. And my daughter told me to say thank you to you as well. Anita in Las Vegas, thank you for calling. Good afternoon.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I've got my personal intention is I'm waiting desperately for a very important piece of paper from the Social Security, and it's taking them forever to send it to me. So I need prayers for the expedition of that. But also I have two other intentions. And one is for senior people who have signed over power of attorneys to someone else, and for the safety of their security and the fact that they did that. And the other intention I have is for teenagers, boys who are approached by girls in high school and junior high school to be their girlfriends, and they're relentless in their trying to entice these young boys to do things that they shouldn't be doing.
Right. Nita, thank you. We'll pray for those intentions, and I'm grateful you got through today. Important. And Lord, I pray for those important documents that are missing or caught up in the slog of the Social Security Department right now. I just pray that they could be expedited. Send angels in your mercy to carry them back to Anita. And we do pray for protection over our elderly and those who now need to put their trust, their finances, their care, decisions into the hands of others, that mercy, justice, proper care, love will always be present in all those decisions and in that care. And I do pray for those who have no one as well. Pray for the addicted, the homeless, those impossible situations as we pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world,
for the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll go to Maria praying in Glenview, Illinois. Maria, welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Yes, my prayer intentions are for two kids that disappeared near Michigan State University. One is a 15-year-old, Milo Takahashi, and the other one, he disappeared 5 days ago, and the other one disappeared before Halloween, and his name is Brennan Santos.
Okay. Well, thank you, Maria. First of all, I want to pray for you, too. I know that you're praying on behalf of these two missing children. I don't know how old they are, young adults. Pray for these kids who are missing. And, we tend to have this charism. I say it all the time. We pray for the missing. I just shared an answered prayer for somebody who called in about 30 days ago, and the person was returned. Lord, I pray for these impossible situations, these concerning situations where so many families right now are so concerned about their loved ones, where they may be. And if there's anything nefarious taking place, I just ask that that be brought to light. I pray for those who are being human trafficked and abused, those with mental illness, those with drug addictions, those who are missing from their families and their loved ones, and I just submit them to you. I also pray for Maria and all of her intentions. She didn't ask for anything but read her heart. Let me go to another call. Who's up next? We'll take one more call here on this decade if we could. How about Rose in St. Paul, Minnesota? Hi, Rose. Good afternoon.
Hello, thank you so much for taking my call, Drew, and I'm holding out a big cup again for my mom, Nancy. I called for her in May when she was undergoing surgery for colon cancer, and she had really, really intensive chemotherapy all summer and into the fall. Well, just as she was starting to get better, she got COVID, and she's been in the hospital for over 8 days now. She isn't doing very well, and she's been maxed out on oxygen for about 3 days, and she's on the brink of being put in a ventilator, but she has some serious heart conditions, too, so our family is just begging for your prayers and for prayers for everybody in our situation, all these souls, for the ones suffering in the hospitals, the ones caring for them, for their loved ones from afar. And I'm just so grateful for the chaplet. It keeps our family going every day.
Oh. Well, put your trust in the Lord. All right, let's do that. Now, we'll pray for your mother. It's such a difficult journey you're going through right now. My heart goes out to you, and especially to your
Thank you. She's only 62.
Oh, she's young. Well, let's have hope. All right, let's put
Thank
our trust
you,
in
yes.
the Lord. We'll do that right now, okay? You know, and I always reflect on what the Lord said, right? The Lord, God wills only our good. He loves us more than anybody else can or does. He loves your mom the same way. And I know our prayers touch the heart of God. And he says, I'm offering you a vessel which you're to come for the grace, you know, for those answers to your prayers. And that is my mercy, right? That is my mercy. So the more you trust, the more you receive, Lord, we trust in you. And I give you the desperate situation that I just heard and all those united to me now, all those on hold, all those who've written, Lord, we need miracles, and I ask for them every day as a testimony to your great and unfathomable mercy. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless, and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please. Look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us. Saint
Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko,
pray for us.
All you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Thank you so much for praying with me, and for allowing me to be part of your afternoon, and for being part of my spiritual family. I need your prayers. I count on them. I value them. Send me those answered prayers. I know God is working. I know we're getting them every day. There's such a communal beauty to this as we gather invoking the mercy of God. And I know our prayers go right to the throne of God. And he desires to pour his mercy out upon us. That's what he's told St. Faustina. He just desires. Heart's burning for that. It's overflowing for that. So let's trust in it. Let's continue to pray. Even in these hard and difficult moments, God will not fail you. I'll be right back.
Your virtual parish. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
The hope lives here.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, thanks for joining me. It is great to be back here with you today. I am, again, delighted to be able to just pray with you and spend time with you. And you know, as we pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, I often think of what we're doing. We are offering to God the Father the body, the blood, the soul, the divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, atonement for our sins, right? And where is sin conquered? Where was it defeated? Calvary, right? Holy place, one of the holiest spots on the planet. And recently, you know, I've been talking a lot about the Holy Land, especially this time of year as we get close to, you know, entering into the nativity story and thinking about the life of Christ. And then soon we will be reflecting, of course, on the extraordinary passion and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. I invited to join me today Khaled Jacob. He's the president of Nativity Pilgrimage, which you can find online, and I hope you will go and check them out at nativitypilgrimage.com. He goes by Jacob, and I said, you know, could you give us a perspective? I want to talk today, if we could, a little bit about, you know, Calvary. I want to talk about walking in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, what it was like to do that. You know, what's it like to be where Christ taught his apostles? You know, today we have these revelations where Christ, the resurrected Lord, has come through somebody like St. Faustina. But imagine being on the Sea of Galilee, right? Being out there, shutting the boats off, the engines off, and being in the very place where Christ, you know, where he preached, he spent time with his apostles, where he walked on water. It's pretty amazing. Jacob, it's good to have you back. Good afternoon. Thanks for being here.
How are you?
I am well. I'm delighted to take time to talk with you once again today. Let's do that today. I thought it would be great for those who cannot travel, those who have not had the opportunity to be away, maybe to take them back to the Holy Land and what it's like to walk in the footsteps of the Lord. I know somebody who's actually going who got back from the Holy Land just recently, and they had shared with me, they said, normally when I go to the Holy Land, you have no time to pray like some of these holy sites. There's so many people who are trying to get into, you know, the Holy Sepulchre place. You can kneel down for about 30 seconds and get out. They said they literally have had the Holy Land to themselves. They've been able to do adoration and spend massive amounts of time. So let's start with that first. What's it like there today? And then maybe bring us back in time. What's it like to walk in the footsteps of Christ?
That's good. Drew, I have with me on this interview today one of our primary tour guides in the Holy Land. His name is George Stefan, and he's going to speak from Jerusalem as well.
You know,
George, he's with us. And George, he's native from Jerusalem. Last week we had two groups back from the Holy Land, and I believe the same story you hear. They felt the Holy Land only for themselves. So they have a great time visiting the sites, praying at every place, get more holy with more no pressure, you know, no waiting online. So I think it's a good time to visit the Holy Land, especially with the next 6 to 8 months. It's going to be kind of quiet.
I think it's going to be spectacular. You know, I've had the ability to travel to a lot of different places. I've been to the Holy Land twice, and there is an anointing on that land. You know, you pray where the angel Gabriel appeared to the Virgin Mary, or go to Ankarim where Elizabeth was from, and Mary took care of her cousin Elizabeth, or to, you know, just look at the Sea of Galilee, or to be on the Mount of Olives, or Gethsemane, or especially Calvary. It's pretty amazing. George, it's good to have you with me today, too. Let me bring you into the conversation. What's it like there today? Paint a picture for us. I know that a lot of people have stopped traveling. I know the borders are once again open, and many people are starting to return, but this is kind of a unique opportunity. If people can get over there in the not-too-distant future, then they might have that opportunity to experience the Holy Land in a way that you normally would not have that experience. So share with us a little bit of what it's like.
Good evening, Mr. Drew. Good evening, Jacob. Thanks for having me on your show and on the radio. As Jacob told you, I'm Catholic from Jerusalem, so I live around just a minute away from the Basilica of Resurrection. I'd rather call it the Basilica of Resurrection because our faith is about resurrection, the empty tomb. So I just had a group as well from Houston, and what was so awesome is that we did pray the rosary at the Basilica of Resurrection. We did it as well at the Garden of Gethsemane Basilica, of which since 2019, 2018, 2017, you could barely, you know, go in and visit that place. Nowadays, it's all empty, and it was all for the group. It was an awesome experience, of course, traveling with Nativity, and then seeing all these places, of course, empty places, and then we can maneuver easily, see the sites, feel the place. It's not only about the stones, but about the living stones as well. So that was an experience that the people had, the pilgrims had. I would never say tourists. We'd say always pilgrims, of course. It was an experience that was so touchy that they went back, they took everything with them, and, of course, they'll be disciples of the Lord nowadays, of course, in the States, talking about the Holy Land, talking about the land of Emmanuel, and coming to the fifth gospel, to see the fifth gospel, of course.
Yeah, I love the way you put that. The Holy Land really is the fifth gospel, because you can read these stories, but when you go to Mount of Olives, you know, or you go to Gethsemane and you pray, or, you know, there's a friend of mine once went over there where they took him out on boats, and they took you out on the Sea of Galilee, and then they shut off the engines. And just to sit there and to close your eyes and to be able to pray and think, this is what the Lord encountered. He had the same experience. This is what the apostles experienced. You know, this is the very water that Christ himself walked on. Yes, it's got to be profoundly impactful. I'm sorry. Go ahead, George.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. That's why I'd like to put it this way. You know, when people and pilgrims come to the land of Emmanuel, I'd love to call it the land of Emmanuel, because at the end of the day, none of the prophets came over here. It is only the Lord who came over here. The Word became flesh and is dwelling amongst us. So the thing is that I'd like to put it this way. They'll be walking where the Lord walks, not walked. Because if you go to the book of Revelation, the Lord states he's the Alpha and the Omega. So you could never state that the Lord is in the past tense. We have always put it in the present and the future. So it is the place where the Lord walks. And if you give me a minute, I will give you like that image. When I used to wake up early in the morning, my parents' house next to the Basilica of Resurrection, I wake up, I turn my head to the right, I'll see where the church started and where everything will end. That's Mount Zion, okay, where the Eucharist started, where priesthood is, and where priesthood started. And then my head will take me all the way towards the agony of the Lord. And then Mount of Olives, you'll see the Lord coming down on a donkey, Palm Sunday walk, down to the Garden of Gethsemane. And then I would look towards the north a little bit, not see the Basilica of Resurrection. So it's all compact, all together. They'll be walking exactly where the Lord walks. So they'll have that feeling. And I'll put it like what Isaiah talks about, the prophet Isaiah, in chapter 49. He says, I know you as I know the palm of my hand. And then, you know, you teach the pilgrims how they look on the right hand. They'll see Jerusalem imprinted, the boundaries, and all Jerusalem will be imprinted on the right hand, as Isaiah says, and then they'll take it back home with them. So literally speaking, Drew, like, I believe it is a ministry, and this is what Nativity is doing, with all respect, of course, to the other agents. But Nativity is preparing a program that will take you all the way from the ministry of Jesus around the Sea of Galilee, all the way up to, of course, resurrection, that is, happiness. Yeah. Okay, all the way up to Calvary and then to the tomb.
George, I'll tell you what, I'm going to take a short pause. We want to try to get a little bit of a better connection with you. We're going to come back. I'll take some calls, too. Dee Dee in Arizona has got, I think, a really important question. What's the climate over there like in terms of Middle East tensions? I know my wife was concerned about that, too, when she heard about that. I was wondering what kind of, how safe is it, you know, for people? People wonder about that. They wonder about COVID. We'll take Dee Dee's call. We'll take your calls. You have a question about the Holy Land or any aspect of that. We're joined by two experts on it, and it's your opportunity to get your questions answered or join the conversation. Share your own thoughts, your own experiences. It's 888-914-9149. We'd love to hear from you. 888-914-9149. We'll be right back. Hi, Drew Mariani here. Hey, I am traveling to the Holy Land in February with our underwriting sponsor, Nativity Pilgrimage. Information is available at relevantradio.com/Holy Land. That's relevantradio.com/Holy Land.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
What a great rejoin, Maggie. It's awesome. Puts you right there in the Holy Land, in the footsteps of Christ. There's a lot to talk about. I shared last week about how the Holy Land still is very much alive. There was a pilgrimage group that went there. They were praying in Gethsemane, and they had this encounter where a rock appeared to have wept blood. You know, and we know that there were images that had cried at the birthplace of Christ in Bethlehem. We know the encounters, the conversions that so many people have had during this. I've always said, and this is just my personal opinion on a couple places in the world. There's three things I think just about everybody should see if you're ever able to afford it or you can do this. One is, I think everyone should go to the concentration camp of Auschwitz or any of those concentration camps and see the horrors of man's inhumanity to man. It's altering. It's life-changing. You see the manifestation of evil incarnate, you know, and it's something that I pray to God will never, ever see again. But I think it's an eye-opener. You know, this is not myth. It's not fiction. It's reality. And I think if you could ever get to a place where you can experience that, it's well worth doing. The other is, of course, a safari. If you ever an opportunity to go on safari and see God's creation, see the majesty of his creation, to be able to travel to see some of the beauty of God's creation, that's life-changing too. But ultimately, I think the Holy Land is one of those places every Christian should go to. You should walk in the footsteps of the Lord. You should encounter the very soil that Christ wept on, and where he raised his friend Lazarus, where he healed, where he taught, where he gave us the gospel, ultimately, where he conquered sin and death, threw open the gates of heaven, and made us sons and daughters of God. I mean, it's an extraordinary, extraordinary experience. That's me personally. Those are the three places, I would put on your bucket list. And I don't think you'll be disappointed in that. I'll take a few of your calls. Before I do, let me welcome back Jacob and George. George is actually live in the Holy Land. It's late there now, and I'm grateful for him staying up so late to do that. And George, Jacob, thanks for being here. Jacob, of course, is from Nativity Pilgrimage. You can go online and check him out at Nativity Pilgrimage, or just go to relevantradio.com/Holy Land. You'll find more information about that organization there. Let's go to the phones. We'll go to Arizona first. And gentlemen, either of you can answer the question. Dee Dee's got a couple questions about, I think, safety and whether or not it's good to go. Hi, Dee Dee.
Hi, Drew. Hey. I have two questions for David and George. And I thank you for sharing my two questions on the air. The first one is the COVID situation. The second one is the political situation in Israel.
Those are great questions. My wife had that question about how safe it is. You know, the last thing you want is bombs flying. So Jacob or George, I don't know who wants to answer that.
Let me take care of the second part, and George, you will take care of the first part, okay? Drew, I've been almost 10 years in business, and since my family back home in Bethlehem and all, you know, we know the situation very carefully. If there is any risk of, you know, first of all, Israel, it's always very safe for pilgrims, which is we never, ever have any issue with pilgrim as terrorist attack or any very unstable political situation. So at this part, we are 100% confident, because if I feel there is 1% risky, we're going to reschedule any tour. And we did that in the past. This is number one. Number two, the Palestinian-Israeli conflict and where the action has happened, it's way away from the pilgrim route, which is, that's another thing. But anyway, if we know it's very on... Hello?
No, you're there, guys. I was just kidding.
Okay, so this is on the political situation. I think it's the area in general now kind of quiet, especially the Gaza-Israel conflict. It's extremely quiet. If we know there's anything, we will even, I have a group that we reschedule them. They've been on their way to the airport, and I call the priest and we reschedule them. Because we are from there, we follow the news. This is our life. About COVID, I would love to let George share with you what's the latest update from Israel government about entering. The situation in Israel kind of very safe, because Israel is the most country give vaccine to their people. So George, can you give them some updates?
Yes, of course. About the COVID-19, of course, nowadays we have around 8 million people who has been vaccinated, the third vaccine in Israel. Okay, so pretty much the Israeli government and the Ministry of Health are changing the regulations. Of course, they said on the 25th of November, they will not ask for the third vaccine or the booster. So two of them will be enough. And then now we have some talks in the government, in the Knesset, like the, of course, government building. They said that they will only ask for a test before coming, of course, from pilgrims, before coming into Israel, and then you'll do a test before you leave. So we hope these regulations will start on the 25th of November, because they are saying right now that they will open the skies for pilgrims to come in from green countries, especially green countries that are non-affected countries. Mm-hmm. So this is good news.
Thank you, George. Thank you, George. And both of you, shalom.
Shalom. We say in Aramaic, the language of the Lord, we say shlomo. Shlomo, that's in Aramaic.
Shlomo?
Peace.
That means peace, of course, right? Peace?
Peace, of course. Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's great. Dee Dee, thank you for your call. Two great and very important questions to ask us, especially if anyone is contemplating, you know, doing something like that. Let me go to another call. We'll go to Glenn. He's in New York City. Let's just check in with him. Glenn, good afternoon. Welcome.
Hey, good afternoon, Drew. I want to just echo what I just heard. I went in on a pilgrimage with my church from Brooklyn, Recovery House of Worship, and not once did I feel unsafe. There is a strong military and police presence in Jerusalem. And, you know, I stayed with the group. I was fascinated. It all came to life. Everything I've learned since I was a little boy, Bibles, stories and locations, they're all real. And there is a feeling that I can't describe. You need to experience it for yourself to walk where Christ walked. And I can highlight that by I was fascinated with the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. It's a church that's built atop what is believed to be Calvary. And that was crowded with pilgrims and people praying at the two locations inside the church. But I had heard there was another location that some scholars and historians believe may have been the actual site. And they say it's Golgotha, and it's the Garden Tomb. And it's outside the wall of the of Old Jerusalem. And when you go outside the wall, now you're in a community that's a very mixed community. And I broke away from the tour, and I was in a Muslim community, and nobody looked at me funny. You know, I'm a white man from New York, and they just looked at me as another tourist. And when I got to that site, I just stood there in awe. It is a cliff. It's how I pictured it occurring biblically. And I let my mind drift off to a cross on top of that cliff.
To be able to pray there in places like that, Glenn, are unbelievable.
And what his sacrifice was for all of us.
Amen to that. I want to bring some clarity, though, because you've got the place that the Catholic Church, the Franciscans, so many others acknowledge is the actual place of Christ's crucifixion. And then we have that Garden Tomb. And George, maybe you can bring clarity to this. My understanding, I've spoken to some other biblical scholars and archaeologists who now say that even the Protestants dismiss that Garden Tomb as not being the place where Calvary was. What do we know about the actual crucifixion site of our Lord? And Glenn, thank you for sharing so eloquently about your experience. I agree with you. There's a lot of grace on a journey like that, and a tremendous opportunity to pray and really connect with the divine. But go ahead, George. I'll let you respond.
Thank you. This wall, this current wall that is built around the old city of Jerusalem, dates to the 16th century. That makes the Church of the Holy Sepulchre inside the city walls. Okay. Now, the thing is that in the Lord's time, there were two walls surrounding the city. And archaeologists have found the Judgment Gate that is nowadays under the Russian compound that, of course, made the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jesus' time outside of the city walls. Okay. Now, the thing is that there are 25 proofs, archaeologically speaking and historically speaking, geographically speaking as well, that makes the Church of the Holy Sepulchre an excellent tradition. Okay? So the thing is that even the Protestants know that the Garden Tomb is not the place, because in the Gospel of John, it is said that John says he was crucified at a place called Golgotha. He does not say that it looks like a skull. He says it is the place of the skull, and it does not look as a skull. The Protestant side looks like a skull. So the issue started in the 19th century when lots of the Protestants started pouring in the Holy City. There was no place for them to pray at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, so they had to create a new place outside of the city, outside the Turkish wall, and they called it first Gordon's Tomb, according to General Gordon, who was drinking some brandy and some water on the walls of the city. And then he started digging over there for 15 years, finding nothing. Even the tomb that he found over there, that lots of the people visit over there at the Garden Tomb, dates to the 7th century before Christ. There's a gap of around 600 years before Jesus' time. And it's part of St. Stephen's Church, the first martyr in Christendom. Okay? So, it was called for 15 years Gordon's Tomb. That's why we call it nowadays Garden Tomb. Okay?
Wow,
and one of the most important proofs that proves that the Church of the Holy Sepulchre is the one, they found five niches, five tombs next to the tomb of the Lord. The Jewish people could never bury inside the boundaries of the city. They always buried outside. So this is a clear proof that the Church of the Holy Sepulchre was once upon a time outside of the city walls.
Wow. Well, George, first of all, thank you. I love the history. I love your profound knowledge. Jacob, I want to thank you, too. I only have about 30 seconds, maybe a minute at the most left here. I'll have to bring you back. I wanted to talk about Gethsemane and a story that I shared. I wanted to talk about Calvary and so much more. Maybe we can revisit this next week or the week after, but I would certainly love to talk with you more. George, thank you. Thanks for being here. Jacob, let me give you
thank
final
you,
thoughts as we wrap up here in the final moment.
Drew, thank you for having us. And again, I think this is going to be life-changing experience for all the pilgrim. And again, not the visitor, not the tourist, to walk in the footsteps of our Lord. And I tell some story in the morning show today about the Cana and how the Lord listened, or his mother asked him to do the first miracle there. And she know before anybody that he's the Lord. And this is very powerful sight for me. I think it changed a lot of people's life, especially for the merit and the value of the family and value of marriage. It's very important sight. We can talk a lot about it, but to find a lot of information or more, they can go to relevantradio.com/Holy Land. And we would love to hear from them. They can call the office or send us an email. We will be answering all their questions. Security.
Hey, I got to leave it right there, Jacob. It's relevantradio.com/Holy Land.